I'm grateful for you guys coming today because it's a significant thing that you have, I know, lots of different things that you could do, but you've taken a time out to say, I want to make an effort to make sure that Jesus Christ realizes that I know that this is his day. And I'm making a sacrifice to put him first. And we're going to light these last candles that we had. And, of course, each week we have lit one. There we go. And so the first one that we have right here, if I can see, is hope. And Jesus Christ gives us hope. And then he gives us love. He reveals God's love to us and enables us to be free in that love to love others, which brings us great joy. And we spend a week each week taking a look at these things that Christ has brought into our life. And we ended with peace, that God had given us peace. And today, we light the candle in the center of it all. And that is the candle that represents Christ. Because without Jesus, none of that would be possible for us. But because of him, it's all possible. And so as we move forward, we want to realize that Jesus Christ is the one who came and descended onto this earth from heaven. And he's the one who ascends back. And Advent, or this time, really means the coming or the appearing. And so we've got the appearing of Christ in the flesh to open our eyes to realize that we are separated from God, but that God loves us and that we can come into his kingdom and be part of his family. But he's coming back again. And he's coming back again to establish that family. And when he comes back again, then we will be with him, not just spiritually forever, but we will be physically in his presence. So if you open your Bibles to Philippians 2, 9 through 10, we're just going to read a couple of verses right here. Because it's real important to recognize who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, he came into the world because even though he made the world didn't recognize him. And people can't find him and can't serve him and can't be a part of his family if they don't know who he is. And so we're going to pick up in verse 9, and it says, therefore, and we'll get back to the therefore in a minute, but therefore God has also highly exalted him. That's interesting. We're here today to exalt Christ, but God has exalted him also and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I'm going to go back a couple verses to get the therefore in. And it starts off and it says, let this mind be in you. And the reason that Paul says this in verse 5 of chapter 2 is because this is the problem. The same mindset that God has, the same perspective that God has, the same attitude that God has, is not our natural attitude. We don't think like God does. We don't see him and appreciate him like he really is. And so this little section starts off and it says, it's basically saying Christ has come because he wants you to have the same heart and mind that he does. That's what renewing the mind and transforming the heart is all about. And so as we read these verses, remember, Christ came to demonstrate who God is and what he's like so that we could appreciate him and that we could become in our hearts and attitudes and thinking in line with him rather than out of line with him. And so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus Christ came on this earth. He was born a baby. He grew up with all the same struggles and strains and circumstances that we are. He did not grow up in this perfect world and without strain in his family. I mean, they had a lot of struggle. They were not accepted in the community they were in. They had to flee, had to go as refugees to Egypt, had to come back. Lots of struggles, lots of problems. And yet, he kept a godly perspective in his mind to show us how to live. And this is interesting. It says, who being in the form of God. And this is a present tense Greek word, which basically means that he is being and always being. In other words, he was, he is, and he always will be God, in the form of God. So he was fully human, and yet he is fully God. And the gospel cannot be understood without recognizing who Jesus Christ is. There's lots of religions that change who Jesus is. And it's not God reaching down to us, so it's not God's grace that saves us, but it's God's mercy and grace plus our works. But it's really the heart of God who he is. And Jesus Christ came to this earth as God, as a human being. He did not consider, I've got a verse right there, sorry. The prophecy tells us that that was going to happen 700 years before it did, in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. And everyone knows what Emmanuel means. It means what? God with us. It doesn't mean a good man with us. It doesn't mean a godly man with us. It means God is with us, and he's not going to be born with a human father. His father is God. And that prophecy was fulfilled in Luke 1:35 when Joseph decides he is going to obey God and he is going to not divorce Mary. He's not going to shame her. And the Holy Spirit appears to him, and the angel answered the Holy Spirit. He's asking, how is this going to happen? And the angel answers, the Holy Spirit, this one's to Mary, will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One will be born and called the Son of God. And speaking to Joseph, he says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will be born to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. So from the very birth of Christ, the angel reveals to Joseph and to Mary that this is not just their son. It's not their son. It's God's son. And it's not somebody else's son. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I find that a difficult mystery. It's a mystery to understand how Jesus Christ could be fully human and to be fully God. But it's predicted 700 years before his birth. It's confirmed at his birth. And he lives that out and demonstrates it as he rises from the dead. And Colossians 1:15 tells us that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So even though it was masked in human flesh, that heart of God still came through. And in that little baby, God was going to reveal himself step by step to the world. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the invisible, is the visible image of the invisible God. And back to chapter 2 of Philippians, he continues and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And that word can be translated seized or a thing to be grasped. As a matter of fact, a lot of your translations, the English version, New English version says that it is to be grasped, or it's something that he had and he had the right to, but he didn't consider it something that he wanted to grasp and to hold or to use, but it was something that he wanted to use for our benefit, not for his benefit, which is another definition of the word. Some of your translations say it this way. He did not exploit it for his own advantage. Though he's in the form of God, he didn't use that power for himself. He used it to reveal himself to us. In Isaiah 9:6, it tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So when you stop and think about who Jesus is and who this baby that came into the world is, he's Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the one who orchestrates peace. He is the Wonderful One that gives us counsel that is never wrong. These are all things that ascribe to God. The fulfillment of that prophecy, Jesus as a man says this, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. He's speaking to his disciples and he's saying, you can't see God, but you can see me. And I am God. And if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so now you know the Father. And it's just interesting for us when we stop and think about Christmas. It's so easy to think of Jesus as a baby. It's so easy to think about the presents that are coming. It's so easy to think of everything, but to stop for a minute and just be in awe of the mystery of godliness. The mystery of God revealing himself through Jesus Christ, which takes some thought to even appreciate and understand. And I'm grateful that you're taking that time today. It continues in verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come here and scare us to death with his power. He didn't come here, even the power of the United States president, if he walks into this room, we're all aware that we better watch what we say and what we do. Because Secret Service is all around. There's power with that office. That office is nothing compared to who Jesus Christ was in that manger. He made himself of no reputation, and he took on the form of a bondservant. And this is the Greek word doulos, and what it basically is interpreted as a disregard for one's own interest to be devoted to another. Sometimes it's translated slave, sometimes it's translated bondservant. But when you're talking about the Jewish religion, if you remember from reading the Old Testament, Jews couldn't own other Jews as slaves. They could sell themselves into a situation where they served without money, which is slavery, but they could not do that for a lifetime. They did it for a certain time. If they were in debt or couldn't provide for their family or whatever, they could attach themselves to someone as their servant or as a slave. But as a Jew, you could not own another Jew as a slave for life. There was a time that they had to be released. And when they had to be released, you had to recompense them with the benefits that you had gained from them through that service as a gift when they left. However, if a person decided that they didn't want to leave the service of their master because of the way they were provided for and they were loved, they appreciated that. And so in the Bible it says that they were to be taken to the door, the entrance of the family home of the master, and they would put their ear and take a metal spike, and they would open up the ear or dig the ear. They would put this mark on the ear, which marked them as a bond servant, someone who had decided that they would give their life to serve the other. The Bible says Jesus Christ came as a bond servant to us. He took on the form of a bond servant for us. And it's very clear in the New Testament that we are to give ourselves as slaves to Christ or as bond servants to Christ willingly. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, when you choose Christ, you become his bondservant. You're no longer your own. You are his by your choice. And he puts a mark on you. What's that mark? We're sealed, Ephesians tells us, with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that changes the way we think, it changes the way we feel. It changes our hearts. It's the mark that the world can see to know that we are his. We are different. We are not of this world. We are of his kingdom. And that is what Christ came to show us. He took on the form of a bondservant to show us how we as human beings would live. And he came in the most vulnerable form. So it would be clear that he's doing this of his own choice, giving up everything for us. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Christ leaving everything of who he was and who he is in heaven to take on our form, to relate to us, and to reveal God to us. He came in the likeness of men. And not only that, but verse 8 tells us, and being found in the appearance of a man. It's very clear in the Bible. Jesus is not just a man. He is God in the flesh. He is fully human in his body and in the things he experienced. But he is also fully God in that human body. And he humbled himself to become obedient to the Father's will to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's an amazing thing to think all that's packed up inside of that little baby in that manger. Therefore, it tells us, therefore is an important word. Because we understand that, we can celebrate Christmas. If we don't understand that, we're really not celebrating Christmas. We're enjoying a vacation. But therefore, God has also highly exalted him. God has lifted him up above all names and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. So there's a reason that all this happened, so that we could see who God was and how he loved us. And at that name, all of us would surrender and submit ourselves to him. Every knee would bow, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, there'll be a day when every knee will bow. Some of them will bow out of fear and out of realization of where they stand with God. Some of them will bow out of gratitude for what God has done and how he has opened their hearts and changed their lives to be acceptable to him, not because of our effort, but because of his grace that he has given us. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father, showing his greatness. But you're here today because you've already confessed that Jesus is the Lord. You've already confessed that he is the one who created us, who loves us, and who is in charge of the entire universe. And we want our lives to be in line with him. We don't want to be at odds with one who loves us like this. So on this day, we come together, we take out a few minutes to do what Psalms tells us, to come and let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. It's interesting at his birth that the kings, well, I guess they weren't really kings, they were advisors to kings, but the very powerful men of Babylon, the most powerful country, they came and bowed before Christ. And that's what we want to do. So I'm going to ask you to just take a moment and just close your eyes. And I want you to take this time just to respond to God. I know there's a lot of busy things going on, but just take a moment. And I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to be able to thank God for the things that he has done in your heart that's brought you to a place that you are able to live the life that he wants you to have and be grateful for the blessings that that brings. Lord, we are so grateful that you entered this world to rescue us. And we think back 2,000 plus years ago when Christ actually was born on this earth, and how all of the things of life kept almost everyone from seeing or understanding, appreciating or acknowledging you're coming into the world. Only the shepherds, only the wise men from far away took the time to stop and to contemplate and then to rush to be able to be there at your birth to acknowledge your coming and to bow down and worship you. Father, we don't want our lives to be so crowded that we lose the awe of who you are, that we can celebrate this season and forget what an incredible, awesome, incomprehensible thing it is that you, as God of the universe, creator of all things, would have seen and loved us enough that you would have dropped everything and that you would have come in the form of a human being that you might be able to relate to us, that we might have our eyes open to realize how wonderful God is. That fear of who you are in all your might could be turned into excitement and love and faith and hope and joy and peace, because we know that all of that power and majesty and grace is in your heart for good to us, that we can trust you. You came as a babe to let us know you're no threat at all. All you offer are the gifts of life. And we thank you that through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.